You're listening to the SG Show. Sam and Steve are on the air.
Today on the SG Show, it's show number 15. We'll talk about some books I've been reading. We've got a new quiz for you guys. And have you ever been clipped to a harness and tried to climb up a 30-foot pole? All that and more on the SG Show.
Hello and welcome to the SG Show.
Each week we talk about books, movies, fun things for families to do together, and, well, kids' life, really.
You can find out more about us and check out our past shows on our website,
which is sgshow.blogspot.com. That is sgshow.blogspot.com. Or they can just call us long distance and leave a voicemail, which we can play on the show. And that number is 206-33-7-SAM-7.
Yeah, I realized.
Forgot that 7.
I realized we'd been given out a phone number that was one digit short, which is probably why we weren't getting a whole lot of calls. Or you can always email us at steveandsam@gmail.com.
And we love to receive your email.
We got a nice email from your Yaya recently, your grandmother. She sent us some puns.
What's a pun?
It's a joke that is funny because of some kind of double meaning in the words.
Oh.
I'll give you an example.
Okay.
I wondered why the baseball was getting bigger. Then it hit me.
Can I get some?
Yeah.
He drove his expensive car into a tree and found out how the Mercedes bends.
Yeah.
Those who jump off a Paris bridge are
insane.
Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. A cardboard belt would be a waste of paper. Ah ha ha ha.
So see the double meaning there in the word waste?
Yeah.
He wears glasses during math because it improves division. Division.
Oh, division?
Yeah.
Oh.
Groan.
Can I?
Yeah.
Did you hear about the guy whose whole left side was cut off? He's all right now.
And the last one. When the waiter spilled a drink on his shirt, he said, "This one is on me."
Ha ha. Sometimes bartenders say, "The drink's on the house." But that's fun. That reminds me of something from the original Muppet Show, because Fozzie dresses up as a bartender, and he says, "Drinks on the house, drinks on the house." And all the men who were throwing things at him went up onto the roof, and then they said, "Hey, where's the drinks?"
And that's a pun, what some people call a low form of humor. Next show, we'll talk all about Halloween. So if you want to email us what you're going to dress up as this year, send it to
steveandsam@gmail.com. Okay, here are this week's quiz questions. We'll give you the answers at the end of the show.
Okay, what were they?
How do airplanes stay up into the air?
Oh boy.
Why don't school buses have seatbelts?
Oh, that's a good question.
Is the 5-second rule for food that falls on the floor really true?
That came up this last weekend. So those are some good questions, and we'll answer them at the end of the show. Sam, you were off this week for a vacation from school. So what have you been reading?
Another Charlie Bone book, and I've just finished Harry Potter number 5 for the second time by myself.
You've been rereading all the Harry Potter books. What do you like best about book number 5?
I like it the most when Grop, Hagrid's half-brother.
Hagrid is the giant who was the groundskeeper of the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
Uh-huh. I like it when he picks up Hermione and calls her Hermie.
Hermie?
Yeah, he says this. Hermie, where Hagger? Drop want Hagger. Because he wants Hagrid.
Are you discovering things in the book as you reread it that you didn't pay attention to the first time around?
Uh-huh. Especially the first time when you read them to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I had to read it myself, because the first one, after we finished the number 5, I don't know what happened. It was just that I couldn't remember the first one at all.
And you've been reading the Charlie Bones series. Do you know how many books there are total of the Charlie Bones?
Of the set I have, there are only 4, but it says this is only one of the series.
And how did this, what was this one called?
Charlie Bone and the Invisible Boy.
And
it's about Charlie and, this boy, Ollie Sparks, who, was squeezed invisible by this electric blue boa. So the boa was made blue when someone put it into a jar, and then someone else put it in this powerful potion that made it that it could squeeze to death. But then there was this other person who cast this kind of spell on it and put it in this jar with a peacock. So it turned blue and it had peacock feathers out of it, coming out of it. And so it can only squeeze until someone's invisible.
Who would you recommend this book for? What kind of kids?
Well, it said it on the book order, and I think that's true. Harry Potter fans.
And do you know the author's name?
Jenny Nemo.
Nemo? Like Finding Nemo?
I think so.
Spelled the same way? N-E-M-O?
No.
Oh.
But it's still called Nemo.
We'll put a link up to maybe Amazon
yeah.
on our website so people can check it out if they're interested in that. By the way, you have to get caught up on your Series of Unfortunate Events books because the new one, which I think is number 12, is coming out this month.
What's it called?
I'm not sure. Have you read all of them? Have you read up to book 11?
I have to get started on number 9 because I quit right when I was in the middle of number 9. So I have to start number 9 again. But I think it's only going to be 13 because it said in National Geographic that 13 is an unlucky number.
You read National Geographic for kids?
Uh-huh.
What do you think of that magazine?
It's pretty good.
So baseball season is officially over for the Giants. They didn't make the playoffs. For me, it's like deja vu all over again.
I think I know what that means.
What?
It's like when you can feel like you've been right there before, or you've been right in that position, right where you were. Something like that.
That's deja vu.
Uh-huh.
You know who said that saying? It's like deja vu all over again.
Who?
Yogi Berra. Have you ever heard of Yogi Berra?
Yes.
You know what team he played for?
Yankees.
Yeah, he was catcher for the Yankees, and he was also a manager. He had a lot of funny sayings. You want to hear some of them?
Okay.
These were all Yogi Berra's. He said, "You can observe a lot just by watching. Baseball is 90% mental. The other half is physical."
That doesn't make sense.
That's Yogi Berra. He said some clever things. He also once said, "If you come to a fork in the road, take it."
That reminds me of something in another thing in the Muppets movie. When only Kermit and Fozzie were driving, and then they were looking at the map, and it said turn left at the fork in the road, and it was really a fork.
A real fork?
Yes.
So we're putting up the show a little bit late this week. This past weekend, we drove up to the Sierra. We went to Camp Tawonga for the big reunion.
Uh-huh, because weekend. Because it was an alumni weekend. All the staff that ever worked there was invited.
We had a great time, and you tried something for the first time, didn't you?
I tried the ropes course.
Now, what was this particular element of the ropes course?
It was called the perch. You climb up a 30-foot pole, and then you have to steady yourself on the top. And then when you're harnessed in, you can't get hurt. It's really not likely that you'd get hurt. You jump off the top, and you try to hit a ball that's hanging on a wire. It's kind of hard. The highest I got was maybe, well, the ladder was like...
The ladder was probably about 7 feet.
7 feet?
Mm-hmm. Six or seven feet.
So I went up about 8 feet.
What was most impressive to me was you went up the first time, and this was your first time ever in a harness.
Uh-huh.
And clipped in with a carabiner to a rope that went all the way up and over the wire. And Loam, who was the ropes course leader, helped you to get up the first time.
But then I couldn't. I was just kind of really scared, so I couldn't get off the ladder. And then after someone didn't want to, I said I'd do it again, and I got two staples up when I hadn't even gotten one staple.
You went up higher than you did the first time.
About 1 foot higher.
You knew you'd be scared because you were scared the first time. What's that like, being scared and challenging yourself?
Well, it feels like, well, to me it felt like something. On the first time, it felt like there was like a claw in my stomach that was just trying to get me down. But then that second time, then there was this big sledgehammer, and it hit the claw, but then the claw's like a relative came and just couldn't go up.
I was very impressed that you challenged yourself, and I know that Loam was as well. That after the first time, when you were scared, you decided you were going to put the harness back on and try it again. And you got up higher. And in fact, the second time, you didn't climb back down, but
Once you get off the ladder, at any time, you just have to give a 1, 2, 3 warning on the new perch. This is new. And then you can just jump off. And then there's some people holding another end of the rope. The funniest part, I think, was when I let my legs go, but I was still hanging on. So.
Oh, you were still hanging on to the pole?
Yeah.
And you let your legs go?
Yeah, so I had to do it again.
It's kind of hard to let go of a solid surface and just let yourself float in the air.
Yeah, right when you let go, it feels like you're about to go crashing down.
Not the most natural act in the world.
No.
And I put on the harness and I tried to do it.
Climbed all the way to the top and you hit the ball.
What I noticed about doing it was that the hardest parts for me were, number one, where you went from the ladder up to the staples that were in the side of the pole that you had to climb up.
Yeah.
And then number two, when you got to the top of the pole...
You had to shift around and... You could easily fall off, right?
It seemed like there was about a 1 foot square place that you could stand up.
Yeah.
Something that you could easily do on the ground. But when you're there 30 feet up in the air...
Yeah, you have to shift positions, and it takes like one special move to get up.
And then the other challenging part was jumping off of it and...
I know.
Trying to hit a volleyball that was suspended 30 feet up in the air.
The end was like maybe like 4 feet away from you. Yeah.
And I was remarking to Loam and to Eric, who was helping Loam, that the hardest parts of the ropes course for me are like the hardest parts in life. They're the transitions. They are the times when you go from doing one thing to doing something else, to challenge yourself just a little bit more, going from the ladder to going to the staples.
Because life is kind of like a big climbing wall. Sometimes you can climb up to the top. That's when you've achieved something really special. But sometimes you fall down, and that it's like that you haven't achieved something.
And you have to start all over again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can we answer the quiz questions now, Dad?
Sure. What was the first question?
How do airplanes stay up in the air?
Yikes. Okay, well, I'll give you the short answer, but there's a whole field of study devoted to this question. It's called aerodynamics. First of all, one thing to know is that air is a fluid. It acts and behaves like water in a lot of ways. And that's important because if you think about an airplane moving through something like water, you start to understand a little bit how it works. People who want to make airplanes that stay up in the air need to think.
Yeah, they need to. I think that they should test them in water first.
And they do that. If you go to the NASA website, you can read all about that. I'll put a link up to all this stuff on our website. But there are four main things that you have to think about if you want to design an airplane. There's thrust and drag, lift and weight. Thrust is just what makes you move forward through the air, and drag is what holds you back. Like if you move your hand through a tub of water and you notice there's a little resistance keeping your hand from going as fast as if you did that same motion outside of the water, that's drag. Thrust is what makes you go forward, like a car engine or a jet engine on an airplane. Weight, you know what weight is, right? All things have weight, you and me and airplanes. Weight is what makes you fall back to Earth. So it's pretty important to find a force that counters weight to keep you flying. And that force is called lift. Lift is kind of a complicated idea, but the first thing you have to know about lift is that it can only exist in a moving fluid. That is, either the air has to be moving or you have to be moving. Your plane has to be moving. If the air was still and you were still, there wouldn't be any lift.
Yeah, because I think what they might do is they make planes fast, because if they go really fast, then they won't fall back to Earth because they're shooting out.
Well, and they also need to have a specially designed wing. And what that special design of the wing does is it actually turns the air that it's moving through. The air gets turned, and the difference between the air on top of the wing and the air below the wing creates a difference in air pressure, kind of like the weight of the air. And the difference in pressure...
I thought the air was weightless.
The air is like a fluid, just like water. So if you put water into an empty bucket, does the bucket weigh the same?
No.
Same thing with air. Anyway, this is a really basic answer, and I'll put links up to additional resources on our website, but that was a good question.
Question number two. Why don't school buses have seat belts?
Well, first of all, I should say I've wondered this for a long time myself, and a lot of people think that school buses should have seat belts, but the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, which is a government agency, argues that seat belts aren't the most effective way to protect kids on school buses. Instead, they employ something called compartmentalization.
Does that mean that they put us into like bag compartments?
Well, not exactly bag compartments, but you know those green seats that are kind of close together on a school bus? Well, compartmentalization means that if you're sitting in strong, closely spaced seats that have energy-absorbing high seat backs, which school buses are supposed to have, passengers are effectively protected from crashes.
And the last question was, the 5-second rule for food, is it true?
I think that comes up wherever parents and kids are getting together and people are dropping things on the floor. You know what the 5-second rule is,
yeah,
right?
Because let's say you drop a piece of food on the floor. You have to count for 5 seconds. 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, 4 Mississippi, 5 Mississippi. And before you get to 5 Mississippi or 5 seconds, you have that much time to grab your food. That's the 5-second rule.
Yeah, well, I looked this up, and it's actually an old wives' tale. It's not true at all.
Oh.
The rule that food that falls to the ground will not contract any germs until 5 seconds have passed. It's a convenient excuse for people to say that you can eat food that has fallen on the floor, but actually the germs will attack it right away. That said, it's usually safe to eat food from a relatively clean floor.
But, Dad, where'd you find that out?
That I looked up on the Wikipedia.
Wikipedia?
Yeah, we talked about that last show. That's the online encyclopedia.
I like that name, Wikipedia.
Well, that's all we have this week. If you want to get in touch with us, you can leave us a voicemail at 206-337-SAM-7. Remember, that's a long-distance phone call unless you live in Seattle. That's 206-337-2677. And you can send us email at steveandsam@gmail.com. And please check out our website at sgshow.blogspot.com.
If you like our theme music, buy one of Larry Zarella's CDs. He's a great musician from Alaska, and there's a link to his site on the SG Show web pages. We'd appreciate it. Finally, if you like this show, tell someone about it. And please vote for us at Podcast Alley. I think that's it for now.
All right, have a good week, Sam.
See you later.
Bye for now.
Well, old Penn's place is empty now. I guess he's long gone to his rewards. But I can still recall the songs he sang. Heck, I even know most of his chords. So while I sit here on this roadside on the way to where I choose, I got his memories in my traveling bags. I got miles and miles on my shoes. I got his memories in my traveling bags and miles on my shoes. He said, son, listen to me. Go telling no lies to get you in big trouble. They just to follow you like flies. He says, son, watch where you're walking. Don't you be afraid to lose. You put your memories in your traveling bags and miles on your shoes. You put your memories in your traveling bags and miles on your shoes.